I'm going to ask Mr. Glenn White to take us through this, to cover this, and also it may generate questions that you have. Why is alcoholism called a disease? What kind of a disease is this that we're talking about? It's a chance to discuss it, ask any questions you may have. Peter was just asking the question some were having, which they picked up on the film there, is that a person can trigger the condition of alcoholism through abuse of alcohol. In other words, there are some who have the genetic predisposition that when they begin to drink, they may become alcoholic. But there may be somebody who does not have the predisposition, the genetic predisposition for alcoholism, but through continued abuse of alcohol, you can trigger this hypersensitivity that he was talking about to alcohol. So again, it shows the dangers then, doesn't it, of drinking too much and abuse of alcohol. You could trigger alcoholism in your body through sin and abuse of alcohol. So what I'm going to do now is turn this over to Mr. Glenn White, and we're going to go through this. This is one of the most commonly used definitions of alcoholism in the entire medical field. The one that you have here is a result of, I would say, decades now of study and research. And at the very bottom of it, you will see that it has approved by the Board of Directors of the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence and the American Society of Addiction Medicine. So it is a result of many decades of research on this subject, and it's all on the webpage of the National Council of Alcoholism. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Glenn White.
Well, thank you, Mr. Luker, and good morning, everyone. In the definition list I think you have there before you, what we have is a fundamental or basic definition of alcoholism, and embodied in that particular paragraph are seven key words or phrases, which then we find delineated on the balance of the page, where it says primary disease, often progressive, fatal, and so on. So going back to the primary definition of alcoholism, it says alcoholism is a primary. Now that's going to be one of the key words that he'll further explain, and I've just circled that in the primary definition here. And it says alcoholism is a primary chronic disease with genetic, psychosocial, and environmental factors influencing its development and manifestations. It's a little bit wordy, but it has it all in here. The disease, another primary or key word, the disease is often progressive and fatal. It is characterized by continuous or periodic, and it breaks it down here into a number of phrases, impaired control over drinking, preoccupation with the drug alcohol, use of alcohol despite adverse consequences, and distortion in thinking, most notably denial. I have to chuckle a little bit. Use of alcohol despite adverse consequences is a minor statement concerning insanity, isn't it? Keep doing the same old thing and you expect different results. That's why AA has a statement. Alcohol is cunning, powerful, and baffling. Try to figure it out, and without some keys, you'll just run in circles. And most alcoholics run co-alcoholics in circles, because the alcoholic is running in circles until he's given a pathway upon which he might walk out of it, or deal with it, not walk out of it. Okay, then we take the first word here, primary. Now, any questions you might have or this triggers, please write them down. And or if they're too burning, just raise your hand and we'll take a quick answer. Make a quick answer to them. Primary refers to the nature of alcoholism as a disease entity in addition to and separate from other patho-psychological states. which may be associated with it. Primary suggests that alcoholism as an addiction is not a symptom of an underlying disease state. Now, that's very important, because the common terminology from some of your psychiatric areas was, and you'll read it in some of the books, that alcoholism is an outward manifestation of a basic inner problem or lack of, or basically it came across as a defect in the person. And so they were treating alcoholics and addicts under that guise in the medical profession for many, many years, and it went absolutely nowhere. Normally speaking, and this has come up so many, many times, that once an individual's money had run out and he'd gone through the system, the last reference was to Alcoholics Anonymous, and then people began to get well. I mean, that is just a statistical fact and a story I've heard so many, many, many times. Okay. And so we then come down to the next key word, disease. It means an involuntary disability. Hopefully the film that we just saw really emphasized that. It isn't a condition that people ask for. It is a condition the individual must deal with. Involuntary disability, again, a classic case of diabetes. How about your immune deficiency syndromes? Any fundamental disease that one acquires, they didn't ask for it. It represents the sum of the abnormal phenomena displayed by a group of individuals. These phenomena are associated with a specified common set of characteristics by which these individuals differ from the norm and which places them at a disadvantage. All right. And often progressive and fatal means that the disease persists over time. I might even say it's relentless, and that physical, emotional, and social changes are often cumulative and may progress as drinking continues. Almost guarantee it will. Alcoholism causes premature death through overdose, organic complications involving the brain, liver, heart, and many other organs, and by contributing to suicide, homicide, motor vehicle crashes, and other traumatic events. And you've heard of a few of those statistics. Accidents, I believe, is number one killer. The man goes out to clean the gutters in his house. That's about a six-pack job. Falls off the ladder. He's never diagnosed with acute alcoholism. He died because of he fell on his head. This kind of a thing. It happens all the time. I just want to point on the board, and this was mentioned several times, and I think it's very important to understand this. If we have, and I think I can leave here for a moment, if this is what we call normalcy, if we can find a normal path in life for individuals, and an individual is living a normal life, and well, hopefully we'll answer this question a little bit later on, created or inherited, at this point alcoholic drinking begins. So does addiction. The individual goes down, as it were, into his addiction. 5 years later, for example, he comes into sobriety. He returns, as it were, to a line of normalcy. His bodily functions begin to function once again, and he is stabilized. He's in a good program. He's sober. 10 to 15 years, he leads a sober life, and you can't. He's your next door neighbor. You can't tell a difference, except the fellow is a very nice guy to be around. He begins to drink for whatever reason. Physiologically, he does not re-addict as he did here in his primary course. He plummets after a short period of here, and this could go on for a few weeks, even a few months, but when he plummets to here. And oftentimes, he doesn't get the privilege of, as I say, fooling around or taking a drink and trying it out and so on. Oftentimes with the ingestion of one or two drinks, the body absolutely goes berserk. High blood pressure, all kinds of physiological problems. The sirens begin to whirl, the red lights begin to flash, and we have then a death before the man ever gets to the hospital. This happens quite frequently. So we're dealing with a physiological problem complicated by a psychological impact, and of course that leads to a spiritual degeneracy as well. So that the body itself is less capable of handling the ingestion of ethanol alcohol, whether he drinks or not. That's very important to realize. And it's even more important to realize the alcoholic that he realizes it, or he could end up dead. Okay. Often progressive and fatal. All right. Accidents, disease. Cirrhosis of the liver is way down the line as far as causing death in the alcoholic. Again, accidents, major diseases, suicide, I believe, is about number three, somewhere in there. So you see the impact, and Myrna mentioned to you the impact in her life of what she's trying to do as a Christian, the mounting guilt, the incredible things that the alcoholic goes through. And it was said before, and I'll say it again, there's nothing you can call the alcoholic he has not already called himself, but he has to cover it up because he wants you to like him. And you talk about a catch-22 every waking moment and usually most of the night. So the word intoxication means in toxic condition. So this individual is sick, he's hurting, or she, no. Okay, I better hurry here. Impaired control means simply that. What control an individual has naturally with the alcoholic, it is impaired, it is faulty. All right. I mean, means the inability to limit alcohol use or to consistently limit. Might only drink once every 3 months. But when it happens, what does alcohol do to the person? That's your key, not quantity. I've had heavy drinkers in my family. One day, walk away from it. I don't like strawberries anymore. I don't like booze anymore. No problem. Heavy drinkers, abusive drinkers. Most of you, well, I shouldn't say that. Many of you probably abused alcohol at one time or the other, and you walked away from it. No lasting effects. Consistently limit on any drinking occasion the duration of the episode, the quantity consumed, and or the behavioral consequence of drinking. That's well worth reading several times. The most consistent thing we can say about alcohol is its inconsistency. It affects people differently, and it affects the same person differently on different occasions. I've been wound out on a couple of beers. The next time, a month later, sit down and drink a half a fifth of good old Cutty Sark. Play cards, go home, sleep like a baby, get up innocent. Inconsistence. The body does not handle it in the right way or the correct way. Preoccupation. Another big one here. Preoccupation in association with alcohol use indicates excessive focused attention given to the drug alcohol, its effects and or its use. You can educate yourself, go to the local supermarket on payday and simply watch the beer coolers and the empty carts that get there first and how they're loaded up and who loads them up. They don't go at the meat counter. Most people do, but the people who don't. Where's the first stop after cashing the check? The liquor store. Who goes there? Okay. Its effects or its use. The relative value thus assigned to alcohol by the individual often leads to a diversion of energies away from important life concerns. That beer is going to be in the cooler at the picnic, whether sandwiches make it or not. Preoccupation. Okay, just a few ideas. Adverse consequences. Adverse consequences are alcohol-related problems or impairments in such areas as physical health, That is alcohol withdrawal syndromes, liver disease, gastritis, anemia, neurological disorders, psychological functioning, i.e., impairments in recognition or cognition, cognitive ability to grasp something, changes in mood and behavior, interpersonal functioning, how to get along with other people, marital problems, guaranteed, child abuse, impairment of social relationships, because we're talking about altered judgment, aren't we? Not willpower, altered judgment. Occupational functioning, scholastic or job problems, and legal, financial, or spiritual problems. Now, when you attach this to the Christian, it really becomes heavy duty because of the acute sense of responsibility and of failure and the shame and all of that that is attached to this when the individual doesn't know why they're failing and why they set out to do one thing and then do another or say things or feel differently. And so it is important. You're going to bump into so many people within the church and outside of the church that is affected. So it may sometimes even second, maybe third generation, but they're going to be there, and they'll have these symptoms. Okay. Denial. This is the biggie. Denial is used here not only in the psychoanalytical sense of a single psychological defense mechanism, disavowing the significance of events, but more broadly to include a range of psychological maneuvers designed to reduce an awareness of the fact that alcohol use is the cause of an individual's problems rather than a solution to those problems. Denial becomes an integral part of the disease and the major obstacle to recovery. I don't have that problem. Or I can handle this. Okay? That's denial. And he may mean it. I'll just have to mention this. The one thing that an alcoholic, why he is so effective in disturbing those individuals around him is because he believes his own press. Fantasy and reality become mixed. What I want to do is what I'm doing, and it is not true. But they'll come across from the heart that this, because of the mix-up behind the face and inside of the emotions, they'll come across with all sincerity and intensity. And that's why we say it's a family disease and the co-alcoholic needs as much help as the alcoholic because they've been affected. Okay, I just wanted to say that because there is a tremendous impact. Mr. Luker, you want to moderate this or questions?
I just want to bring up one thing, and that is when we're talking about the disease of alcoholism, Mr. White mentioned suicide, and that is that suicide from an alcoholic, whether drinking or not, whether inebriated or not, should always be taken seriously. It's a primary problem with the disease of alcoholism, and even if the person is sober and talking about suicide, you should take it seriously and perhaps consider getting help.
Okay, we're at the point. We're going to reserve the rest of the time here. I'm sure we must have generated certain questions or even comments, if some of you want to make comments. But are there things you would like to ask about? Any questions at all? I'll repeat the question. We can talk about it. I know this is a kind of a sensitive subject. It's a personal subject, isn't it? How many of you? Okay, Barry, go ahead.
We ought to leave the question: how much alcohol is safe to take? You know, for an average person who doesn't consider themselves to have a problem. You know, if you look at the alcohol limits in different countries, our country is different than yours, but our alcohol
I'll just give a general comment, then I'm sure Myrna and Glenn can add some specifics as well. But each individual is different. Part of it depends, for instance, in your body weight. whether you're male or female, I think you have to pretty much, a person has to find out. We heard the fact that the body can metabolize, what is it, a half ounce of pure alcohol. And so that's one glass of wine, one beer, one shot of strong drink per hour. But would you do that hour after hour after hour? You see what I'm saying? It takes 1 hour for one drink for the body to handle it. So everybody's individual. And what may be moderation for one could be too much for someone else. But Glenn and Myrna, any specific comments there?
Yes, on this particular subject, there is a built-in defense, or excuse me, the law of supply and demand, if we can use it this way. The person who is a non-alcoholic with a drink, with the, you might say, the satisfaction of the drink, the desire for more goes down. And so the body basically, or the individual basically, just doesn't really want another one, or maybe they'll have another one, but three? No, other question. That is not the case with the alcoholic. Those defenses have been eradicated, and his body is fueled by the alcohol, literally. So there is, as we've been going through here and in the film, there is a physiological change. But the individual normally will not exceed certain limits. Now, his culture will determine whether he comes from a logging society where people are heavy drinkers, he may drink more. But normally speaking, he just will not go too far. I'd like to put that in.
One of the things, Denny mentioned two key factors, your body weight, your gender. Another factor in the metabolism of alcohol is when you've eaten.
You have food in your stomach.
Right.
That's, how fast it absorbs it, in other words. Well, I've read a lot on the subject, and I do know one of the things I've seen on tests that you can take as far as how long you will live, how healthy you will be, I've seen it over and over, is like one or two drinks a day. If you drink alcohol, one or two drinks a day would be like a maximum for a person who can drink. So when you see people, downing one and then two and then, hey, can I have a third beer? I've seen people drink hard liquor and then give me a beer and then they sit down to dinner, they drink wine. Many people, and I'd say even in the church, are drinking too much alcohol. But believe me, what I've learned is you don't mess with people's drinking. They don't want you. Stay out of my business. You're not going to have big attendances at meetings like this unless it's so serious they know they need help. Because alcohol, you've done stopped preaching and you've done gone to meddling. Is the attitude of many people who like their alcohol and who like to drink. They don't want anybody telling them to change their drinking patterns or habits, and yet we have an obligation and a responsibility, don't we, to at least get the facts and the knowledge out there, and God does work with everyone, and hopefully in the church, God will get through to people before it's too late. I mean, I've seen good friends of mine in the ministry and in the church. In some cases, I've seen them die, literally, before they got help. And I've seen some lose their ministry because the alcoholism progressed too far in their lives, so much damage done. So I'm deeply concerned. And drinking does people, I want to help people, but you'll never hear me sitting at the table asking people, well, you're, saying, comment, you're drinking too much, stop drinking. I don't do that. I drink a little myself. But I'm going to leave it to God to work with his people. But we're there to help when they're ready for help.
Any other? There's a question over there.
Oh, yes.
Genetic versus creation.
Let them ask questions.
That's one.
So what if you drink too today? Is that same process still going on if you're...
Okay, the question is if... the damage to the nerves, if you're an alcoholic, it's kind of permanent, it continues on. If you're non-alcoholic, is it the same effect? Okay. Glenn, either one of you have any specifics on that? Is the, in other words, in a non-alcoholic who drinks one or two a day, to my knowledge, and I'll just say my understanding is no, God didn't create that to any lasting damage to that person. It's the progressive chronic drinking, the heavy drinking, that causes the permanent damage.
I would say amen to that. And when the alcoholic quits drinking, there is repair. Alcoholism is an extremely serious and fatal condition, but it is also a disease from which there is better recovery than some of your heavier duty drugs. But I would say two drinks a day would be maximum. Right up there with max. I would say with most people, average it's several times a week. So you might check those statistics out. I don't want to put any crimp in anybody's lifestyle, but that might be a little bit more than the average individual can handle.
A glass of wine a day, you know, if you enjoy wine with dinner, that, and you're not alcoholic, that's not going to damage you. God created someone who's not addicted to wine to be able to enjoy a glass of wine with dinner. And hey, in this hot country, when it's hot and humid, if you like beer, you know, a really good cold beer is refreshing, isn't it? So you're going to have to find and come to understand your own limits. Each person is going to have to do that. Myrna, I think, didn't you want to make comment there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So good questions. Yes, go ahead. Sue. Peter, should I repeat that, or okay? Is it a common thing that brings the alcoholic to the point they know they need help? Question one, right? Are there any common things? Okay.
Question.
Okay. On the reverse side, if the alcoholic is not coming to the point where he recognizes he needs help, what can we do? Others, friends, relatives, family members, to help the alcoholic. Myrna?
I don't want to put you off here, but that's the entire topic for tomorrow. Okay, what we're doing in these 2 days, yesterday is the theology surrounding alcoholism. Today is alcoholism itself, the disease concept. Tomorrow is once we've established the problem and we understand it, where do we go from there?
Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully if some parts of that question are not answered tomorrow, there will be time for question and answers tomorrow. Ask again. Okay.
That's excellent questions, though, Sue, and that gets down to the crux of this whole matter. How do we help them if they're not helping themselves? Very good questions.
So, the way that you tell if you're an alcoholic,
is
that what the?
How can you tell if you're an alcoholic? In other words, when you can't stop drinking, is that one of the signs? Definitely, yes. You know, there are Milam, in his very excellent book, outlines the three stages of alcoholism. The early stage of alcoholism is hard to recognize. You might just think the person is a normal social drinker, just likes alcohol and drinks it. That's the most difficult to recognize, but he does give some of the signs, even of the early signs and symptoms of the early stage of alcoholism, and that is kind of like what you mentioned. The person can just keep drinking. That the tolerance level begins to increase, and the person who has the problem, they're the person that can drink you under the table. In other words, you can have one or two drinks, and you're feeling it, and I think I've had enough. And you say, I need to not have any more alcohol. The person who may be in the early stage of alcoholism, which is hard to recognize, can drink three, then four, and go on and still be functioning normally. So that's right. If that tolerance level is rising, when the average person would take one or two drinks and begin to feel it, you know what I mean? They'd begin to feel the effects of it as God intended, maybe to relax and be enjoyable. The person who's becoming addicted just keeps drinking. So that is one of the signs and symptoms that he brings out very clearly. I'll say when you've read this book, your drinking and watching others drink will never be the same. You won't, hopefully you won't become judgmental, critical, self-righteous, and condemning of others, but you will be aware that there is a major problem in our society and even in the church in some people's lives. So, excellent question.
A major criteria for determining alcoholism in the field is if you have to wonder, you are. Normal people do not have to worry, am I an alcoholic? If you question whether or not you're alcoholic, you very well may be. And we're going to put out some, again tomorrow, we will have some questions to answer regarding the stages of alcoholism and whether or not you are alcoholic. One from Johns Hopkins University, and I forget where the other
National
one's from. National Council on Alcoholism. But what Mr. White read here about impaired control means the inability to limit alcohol use or consistently limit it. On some occasions when it's absolutely necessary, an alcoholic may limit their use. However, you can't predict that. Okay.
Very good questions you're having. Yes.
Not working with you really helped you change. And then how do you view other people who don't have that? Or, you know, you don't know that that's working with them and helping.
So a question is about God working in your life, the Holy Spirit helping you, and how does that work and in your life as you're a Christian, and then if you're not?
Yeah. How much do you feel
God and His Spirit helped you in this, and how do you feel about those who don't have that? I think that would be up to Myrna and Glenn here to answer that one.
Very, very good question. Primarily, we would be more concerned with the Christian alcoholic. We'll save the world, but that's down the pike. We will help anyone, anywhere, at any time. But as God focuses upon the Christian, that would be our primary focus as well, upon the fellowship that of which God has put us in. The Holy Spirit God is very patient. He knows when to create circumstances that will help us. And He intervenes. I don't know exactly. It's such a large subject in a way, but God has never left us. Some people have just kept on going. I know that. We can't determine the spiritual aspect. It's so mixed up. How do you determine whether the person was converted? How do you determine? I don't think I'd even go there. I just know that people with recovery, we see God in their lives, and we see God working. And we'll also see God working with Alcoholics Anonymous, because they get in line with certain spiritual laws, and they have definite results. Well, we've had examples in the past, have we not, of individuals who have tithed and have been blessed and are not in the church. So when a spiritual law of God is applied, there is a positive result.
Well, I wonder if Myrna would want to make a comment on that. Myrna, on that same question, as far as God's Spirit working in your life, how did God lead you? You told when you talked earlier that you hit that point in your life when you were drinking that you wondered about certain things and God, but he never deserted her, and she's here today. So,
well, I believe that through His mercy and the Holy Spirit, not only in me but the people around me, that it precipitated an earlier recognition of the problem and what a solution might be than would have otherwise occurred. And, you know, there is a process called intervention, which we'll go in tomorrow into more detail. You ask the question specifically about how do I feel about people who do not have the Holy Spirit. Obviously, in the 1,000 people or so that I've encountered on a personal level, and then the hundreds more after that, is I agree with what Mr. White was saying, and Denny and I were talking about it yesterday. God works with people who are sincere in pursuing the path of truth, even without knowledge of the plan and the true approach. When you are on a path and sincerely turning to God for help, He will answer that. But other people embrace portions of truth in a spiritual path, and God does reward that.
We're going to show you a film tomorrow as part of the session about Alcoholics Anonymous. It was an A&E special on television, very well done. But it shows that it is the most successful organization in the world, all over the world, in most nations, in saving people from alcoholism. And it's I think you'll find it very helpful. It backs up what Myrna was just saying. It shows that God, who loves all mankind and loves everyone, not just us, loves everyone, is out there working in people's lives. He hasn't called them yet to the knowledge of salvation or the first resurrection, but he's still working in their lives and hearing their prayers and helping them when they sincerely seek him. So that was a good question. Very good. We're just about ready. We got to wrap it up now and stay on time here.